broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Kirk Crosby's taking care of business. Day job calling. That's kind of strange. You know, we do a hard-hitting talk radio 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. That's 10 hours a week on the air. Plus, it takes at least that or more to prepare for the show. It's certainly more than a halftime gig just to do the show. In addition to that, I own Liberty News Radio, syndicating a bunch of talk show hosts. That takes plenty of time as well. With all of our efforts with Liberty News Daily, and man, I'm spending a full-time job outside of my full-time job. What do I do for a living? I'm an IT director and a consultant for IT, for radio and general IT for companies. That's what I do. Kirk Crosby's a dairy herd nutritionist for a living. He also runs a website selling goods and services online. He also sells honey and is a nutritional expert as well. And so, you know, we each got like five jobs. And so we're just doing the best to balance it all, ladies and gentlemen. That's kind of how we roll. Anyway, this is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. The broadcast is for April 13th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 202. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio now. It's amazing in America the news we get. Or the news we don't get is what I ought to say. Because we are really insulated from the rest of the world. Now, if I say we ought to have fair trade, not free trade, and we ought to have tariffs at the borders, and we ought to appropriately reward companies for doing good and countries for doing good, and, well, penalize them for doing bad, like subsidizing their products and manipulating the free market and dumping products on the world markets, etc. We ought to raise the tariffs. And when they obey free market principles, we ought to lower tariffs. And so I'm for fair trade, not free trade. Then they call me an isolationist. But if it's somehow we don't get the news from around the world and get the true story around the world, that's just, well, they claim it's not isolationist. It's just that the American people, I guess, can't handle it. I don't know. Today, we're going to talk about news, folks, that I'm sure you've heard a lot about in bits and pieces. But I hope in this broadcast to put it together in such a cogent, organized way that you clearly know exactly what's happening. So to do that, I got an expert with me. This expert understands it, well, by living it. This expert understands it by working on it every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, Karen Smith is our guest. She lives in Texas. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Sam. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
All right, now let's start out. Tell me who you are, where you grew up. Give me your circumstances. Give me, and I hate to say this, I've never asked anybody this before, but I'm going to do this on purpose. Give me your race.
I'm white.
Okay.
I'm a South African.
Okay.
I lived in Africa, Rhodesia, Namibia, and South Africa for 55 years.
55? 55?
55 years, yes. For half a century. I have lived through the Rhodesian Civil War, the border wars in Southwest Africa, now called Namibia. I have fled with my family because I was a kid at both of those times. I fled with my family from both those countries because my parents were beaten up, my family were attacked. We went to South Africa. I did not flee the country this time. I met an American. He came to South Africa to meet me, and we got married in South Africa. He was white and over 40, so he could not find a job. And he said that a real man supports his wife, not the other way around. So we came to America where he could support me. I didn't flee because I don't love my country. But when I got here, what you just said about the lack of news is so true, Sam. When I got to America, I thought that the news would be on fire about the genocide going on in South Africa. And there was nothing to be heard anywhere, not a word about South Africa.
All right, now let's be very clear, and I don't usually bring up what race somebody is because I really don't care if you're black or if you're white or what your race is or your color, because I believe we're all God's children, and he loves us all, and we ought to be kind and consistent to one another. We should never persecute. We should always lead with kindness and gentle behavior. At the same time, though, we need to realize something. There is a double standard going on, globally speaking. If this was a black plight, if you will, then it would be covered big time. But because it's a white issue, you know what? It's back of the bus time, isn't it, Karen?
Totally, Sam. I agree with you. It's not... I don't think I'm a racist. I stood up against apartheid and was penalized very strongly for it, which is something I don't talk about, but because it was a horrific experience. I stood up against apartheid because it was wrong. I am now standing up against the white genocide going on in South Africa because it's wrong. And it doesn't matter what color you are or who you are. Wrong is wrong, and I will stand up and fight against it.
So, genocide is wrong.
Absolutely. And genocide is a very, very strong word to use. But Dr. Gregory Stanton of Genocide Watch, which is a very liberal, left-leaning American-based organization which keeps an eye on hotspots throughout the world where genocide is about to or could happen. Now, he was a vociferous speaker against apartheid. But in 2012, I think, was the first time he visited South Africa. He went to South Africa. He did an investigation, and he said that white South Africans are in danger of genocide happening. And he stated why. And he said because their firearms had been taken away, because of the political situation there, because of the blacks killing them off like flies, because of the government of South Africa hiding these deaths by many means, there was a possibility of a white genocide in South Africa. Then he went again in 2014, and he said the whites are in extreme danger of genocide. He has put South African whites on level 6 of 8 levels of genocide. 6 being the preparation stage, 7 being extermination stage, and 8 being the denial stage. So we,
in other words, denial stage, whether it even happened.
Yes.
With a goal of revising history.
Absolutely, yes. So he's placed white South Africans on a level 6, and he said it is very hard to put them on any level because all levels are already happening. So the murders are already happening. The genocide not meaning thousands of bodies piling up in the streets. Genocide is a full-on frontal attack on a group of people. So they destroy your culture, your heritage, your history, your education. They demean you and dehumanize you by calling you cockroaches, things like that. So all of those things are happening against the whites, plus the murders. Now, people tend to think of murder as a drive-by shooting or an opportunistic thing or a crime of passion. But in South Africa, it is not like that. Families are tortured for days on end by these black people. They are tied up, kids hung from the rafters, kids drowned in boiling water, the mothers burnt with hot irons, with oil poured down their throats and set alight. They are raped with broomsticks and broken bottles and other means as well. While the father is forced to watch all of this, and eventually they may kill the father or maybe not. They often leave the father alive as a symbol, a warning to say, look, we can do whatever we like with you, and you are helpless to stop us. So this is happening more and more in South Africa, and this year is particularly frightening because the murder rate has speeded up horrifically this year. There are approximately 2 white torture murders a day happening this year in South Africa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Karen Smith is our guest. She grew up in Africa. She is an African. She is white. I don't care what her color is. I don't care what her race is. However, she's documenting something that the mainstream press is flat out not willing to tell the truth about. That's why we must. Now, Karen Smith, you're with Radio Free South Africa, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell me what that means. What is Radio Free South Africa?
I established Radio Free South Africa because nobody was talking about the horrific situation in South Africa. And we started with very small beginnings, very, very small. And I would not say that we're a huge radio show, but I have wonderful, wonderful South African guests who are extremely brave and courageous to speak out while still living in South Africa. So I started it to draw attention to what is happening in South Africa. And now we have a YouTube channel, a website.
And give me the website.
The website is radiofreesouthafrica.com.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Karen Smith, our guest, in seconds on your radio.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Karen Smith. She's an African. She's white. She lives in Texas. She had to flee to America for safety for her family. She is the leader of RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com. Just like it sounds, RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com. The headline is The New Racism. South Africa's white second-class citizens. Let me make a statement, and I want to know if you agree with this statement, Karen, and then we'll get into a rapid fire back and forth. I got a ton of questions, and I want to set the stage for people's understanding, because this is serious business that's being flat-out blacked out by the United States media. Here's the statements. Equality for all, special privileges for none. What do you say, Karen?
Not true.
No, that's what we should stand for.
We should. should, yes, absolutely. We should. It should be equality across the board. That is all anyone is asking for.
And I point that out because they're going to say we're racist because you're white and I'm white and we're talking about this. And they're going to say, oh, man, you know, you're just attacking all the blacks. And this. No, it isn't about black or white, although it is only because the new racism is to attack whites, whether it's in the United States calling all whites racist. To this situation in Africa, which is much, much, much worse. We want equality for all, special privileges for none. Now, that's what we stand for. That's what the Declaration of Independence stands for. However, you're right. It is not true. That's not what's happening in reality. And my question is, why are they not paying attention to it? That is the $64,000 question. Now, let's get into a back and forth so people understand. The history of Africa is very sordid in terms of its abuse or persecution of many groups along the way. What is it? Apartheid was part of that. Before that was part of that. Now it's part of that. It seems like it never ends. They've been at war and at controversy and at persecution stages of one group or another forever, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's still like that all over Africa, even where they have decolonized and taken their countries back for themselves. You just have to look at Zimbabwe to understand that they have had a tyrant in charge for I don't know how many years. He's now 92 years old, Mad Bob Mugabe. And look at Zimbabwe, which was the breadbasket of Africa. It raised more food than any other African country. It was one of the most successful, productive, wonderful countries. Now they're out with their begging bowls asking the world to feed them because they evicted all the white farmers, sent them packing, murdered lots of them, and now they're starving. So you just have to look at that as an example of what Africa is when left to itself.
And we condemn the abuse no matter who it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care who's doing it. Just stop it. It's not right, and we must not do this.
How come the rest of the world, they want to act like they can change Cuba, they want to, you know, look at North Korea, they want to create boogeymen in different countries? This isn't even discussed in South Africa.
No. You know what I think, Sam, and this is really, it's the opinion of a lot of people, but it is only an opinion. We believe that South Africa was the blueprint for the rest of the world. So if they could do this in South Africa to the whites without any interference from the rest of the world.
In other words, without livid outrage.
Yes, yes. If it could be done without somebody stepping in warlike to stop them, then they could spread it to the rest of the world. And that is exactly what has happened. If you see the invasion of Europe and coming to the USA, of Africans rushing into white countries, murdering, raping, destroying, looting, wherever they go, this was the plan from very many years ago. They did succeed in South Africa doing this without a single word being said anywhere. So now it's everywhere.
All right. Now, this didn't just happen overnight, though. It steadily increased, right?
Yes, it did. It started in the 1970s and 80s when the ANC formed their armed wing, Umkhonto Sizwe, and started the violent attacks on white South Africans with all their bombings of police stations, railway stations, restaurants, etc., etc. And that is when Nelson Mandela was arrested, and he was not arrested for speaking out against apartheid. He was arrested on over 170 charges of violence and trying to overthrow the state. So
now, he, like Martin Luther King, was really a thug, but he was basically promoted as somebody awesome, right?
Yes, absolutely. He's been promoted as this icon of peace, practically a saint, but he was not. He was responsible for thousands of deaths in South Africa. In fact, when he pleaded guilty to more than 150 of those charges against him, he didn't even dispute them. And Amnesty International, which is also a very liberal group, they refused to defend him because they said that the charges against him were correct. They could not defend such a violent man.
But you know what? The issue is the mainstream press, even in the United States especially, but around the world even, changed the narrative.
Totally. Totally, they turned it around. So we've been fighting against those things since the 1970s, 80s, somewhere around there. And it's been going on all that time. But the world didn't look at the genuine story of South Africa and the genuine story of apartheid. They just accepted the story that the whites stole the land from the blacks. We oppressed them and murdered them by their thousands. And so we need to be stopped. So we were stopped by sanctions against us and all kinds of other means. And we voted overwhelmingly to continue negotiations with the ANC and to have peace in our country. Well, that never happened. There was never power sharing between the whites and the blacks in South Africa. As soon as Mandela became president, it became a black communist-ruled country because the ANC is a communist party. And they have since then disarmed the white populace, disbanded the group that looked after farmers, a kind of the rural militia that were called the Commando Corps. They looked after the white farms because they naturally isolated. So they were disbanded. And since then, they have instituted over 140 race-based laws excluding white people from the job market, excluding any charity being able to be given to white people. And the result of that is a horrific...
It's almost worse than slavery, because at least slavery, you'd have quarters and food and some of those kinds of things, somewhat safety, etc. In this case, it's even worse than that because you're left on your own for survival, right?
Totally. You are totally alone because there are no state government grants to white people who are unemployed or dispossessed or don't have houses, or whereas all those things exist for the black population because they were previously disadvantaged. So the white.
Now, we're not saying that the government should provide that for everybody. What we're saying, though, is that there is no support system even allowed for the whites in South Africa.
No, it is not allowed. They have laws, they're called BBBEE, which are broad black-based economic empowerment laws, which started out as affirmative action laws, which everybody agreed were fair because it is necessary to uplift the previously disadvantaged people. It was necessary. But those laws have become so unbelievably restrictive that whites cannot and will not get jobs. If you lose your job in South Africa, your life is basically, it's a death sentence, because you will never get another job as a white person. In fact, the government has put out notices saying they would rather keep jobs vacant than employ whites.
Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in equality for all, special privileges for none. We are talking about the racism that is occurring in South Africa. You got second-class citizens for whites. We want second-class citizens for no one. Karen Smith, our guest, riding shotgun. She's with RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Protesting that the IRS has made a secret deal with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Judicial Watch and the Alliance Defending Freedom have sued the Tax Collection Agency. The lawsuit seeks to compel the IRS to disclose its procedures and policies in evaluating the tax-exempt status of churches and religious organizations. In a press release, the FFF pointed out that the IRS has adopted procedures for reviewing, evaluating, and determining whether to initiate church investigations. However, the agency has stiff-armed requests that it make those procedures public in defiance of the Freedom of Information Act. Christina Holcomb, legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, declares that the IRS has a legal obligation to explain why it is hiding things, or else produce the documents. Its ongoing refusal to follow the law is absurd, particularly since much of what we are asking for is information that the IRS has already provided voluntarily to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The alleged secret deal with the FFF arises from a 2014 lawsuit filed by the group seeking enforcement of the Johnson Amendment, under which the IRS can regulate sermons and other speech to ensure that churches comply with the provisions of their tax designations, summarizes the Washington Times. Some legal scholars are concerned that this measure could be used to retaliate against churches that dissent from last year's ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges, which redefined marriage to include same-sex couples. An unarmed 25-year-old woman who was a U.S. citizen was arrested and faces prosecution for insulting the United Arab Emirates while waiting for a taxi at the Abu Dhabi International Airport. An account published in the government-owned newspaper The National describes her offense as refusing to speak with two men who approached her and spoke to her in a manner she did not like. The UAE has very strict laws dealing with defamation and other supposed offenses of expression, which are treated as crimes rather than civil matters. A verdict in this case is expected on May 2nd. Citing a need to stimulate a sluggish global economy, the IMF has called for some central banks to offer negative interest rates, a move that is, in effect, a tax on savings. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Karen Smith with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's with Radio Free Africa. We're talking about a serious, serious issue. Ladies and gentlemen, we want equality for all, special privileges for none. We want persecutions to stop, but the new racism is to create white second-class citizens. They've done it in South Africa. It's beyond comprehension to us in America, but it's true. Now, Karen, I want you to make your answers very, very direct and fairly concise, because I got a bunch of questions. I want to set the stage for understanding. A lot of people are saying, well, if it's so bad and if you can't get a job and if it's horrible, just leave. I mean, just go somewhere else. And the answer is the people have tried, right?
Yes. Sam, they can't leave. Because firstly, 1 million out of 3 million, 3.5 million whites are unemployed, living in poverty. So those people who can't even eat today have got no possibility of leaving. And other people, there's not a country in the world that wants white South Africans. It is extremely difficult to immigrate for a white South African unless you have tons of money.
When you say tons of money, how much would it be per person if we could get it done?
Yeah, it would probably cost about $3,000 to get a person here.
And that's because of the travel, because of the complications, etc., right?
Yes, and all your paperwork costs a fortune, and your visas cost a fortune, etc. So around $3,000.
But if you could just get them to Mexico or somewhere like that, then they just walk across the border, right?
We can't even get them to Mexico, because unless you've got money, you can't get even a visitor's visa to Mexico.
All right, so it's very tough, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot leave. Then others would say, well, why don't they become entrepreneurs?
Because you cannot have a business in South Africa. If you're a white person, you have to have 52% of your business owned by a black partner. Now, whether they work or whether they're qualified or whether they have anything to do with the business does not matter. You cannot own a business as a white person. And then 90% of your staff have to be black, whether they're qualified, unqualified, or not. You have to have 90% of your staff being black. So, and now there are new laws that they're signing into power right now that say the government can take away your business, your patents, your intellectual property, your residential property, your commercial property, take away everything simply by saying it's in the national interest. So what is the use of having a business? if they can take it away tomorrow.
All right. The next thing people would say was, wait a minute. You said there was 3.5 million whites. There's about a million of them without a job. Can't the other guys get together and take care of their own? Come on.
Well, they are trying. But it's too difficult. These 1 million people do not have homes. They live in camps. They do not have vehicles. They do not have food. They do not have money. They do not have access to medicine. They can't get their, most of them can't get their kids educated. So how are 2 million whites, a lot of them children and the elderly who don't work, how are they going to support a third of the population? It's impossible. And
because that assumes that the whites that maybe have a job have plenty of extra. They may have a job. That doesn't mean they're doing well, is the point, right?
No, they're one paycheck away from being the rest of them. So they cannot do it. They've been doing it so far. But the number is growing exponentially of dispossessed whites, and the remaining ones who have jobs just cannot keep up. Plus, there's been a horrific drought in South Africa, so there are food shortages. The food prices have skyrocketed, and people just cannot keep up.
We have taken white privilege and put it on the altar of white squatter camps, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And you were talking about all equal. Well, our constitution has been held up as the best constitution in the world, even better than the American one. But in our constitution, it says everybody is equal except for the previously disadvantaged. So all of the things in the constitution do not apply to the previously disadvantaged, which are the black. So
yes, and part of the problem with that is that the founding fathers found themselves in a very precarious situation too in terms of ending slavery. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. They set the standard for that. The constitution didn't quite measure up to that due to the circumstantial reality they lived in. In other words, you can't change it overnight. But they did try to set the stage, and they did work towards freeing people. I don't care if you're white or black or who you are. Coming to America and living here is the best thing that's ever happened to any of us.
Oh, yeah, it is, definitely.
But you're right, though, that it's got some, some room for improvement there. Circumstantially, that was kind of the problems that they faced, and they did their best to work their way out of it. And it's taken quite some time. Now, let me understand this, then. If it costs $3,000 about for someone to leave, which they don't even have close to that, $3,000 is like a gazillion dollars if you don't have any money.
Yes.
How much would it cost, then, to, one, help them in these camps, to have decent camps at least, some kind of decency of life? How much would it cost per day, per month, per year? I don't know how to figure it out. Per person to deal with this. In other words, what kind of dollars would it take to improve things for them?
Well, you can feed a family of four for a week on $20. Because of the exchange rate right now, it's about 15 rand to the dollar. So you can feed a family of four on $20 for a week. Now, at the moment, what South African families...
And that's $20 U.S. per week, right?
U.S., yes. So what South African Family Relief Project, which is a fantastic charity which deals with...
And what's the name again? Give me the name again.
South African Family Relief Project. They feed, house, take people to the doctor. They deal with many, many, many of the camps in South Africa. They get people, when they find them living in their vehicles or living under a piece of tarpaulin in the bush, they find them a camp. They find them a place to stay. They give them food, clothes, blankets. But they are struggling as well right now because of the cost of food in South Africa.
And because the need is just so great. I mean, no matter what you think you've got, it's overwhelming, right?
Absolutely. Just this year.
Is it called MPC?
What?
The South African Family Relief Project?
SAFRPSA.com is their website.
Okay.
And if you go to their website, you will see they post every single day what they've been doing, how they've been doing, what their needs are. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a list of skills from the camps where these people, white people, are living. So if you were a plumber before you got into a camp, they need to know that. So what they want to do is to buy a farm and to reskill these people. So the older people will teach the youngsters those skills. And then South African Family Relief will start some small workshops going on this farm where they can make things like burglar bars and security gates, etc., which are in high demand in South Africa, and sell them in order to give these people an income. And
now, what are these items again? Say it one more time.
Burglar bars and security gates. That's what they want to start with, and they want to start training. They have got a security company which has offered to give their services free of charge to train people to be security officers to then go and guard the white farms.
And are they going to be able to have weapons, and where would they get their authority? Aren't the laws against them where they can't do that, or what?
No, they probably will not be allowed to have weapons. But they will have nightsticks and things like tasers, etc. Those they can have. So they're going to be trained to do that. But obviously one needs money to buy this farm, and we only have half the money required.
And the money to buy the farm would be to move them off of the squatter camps into something that could be productive, where there could be enough of a quality of life to focus on bigger things, which is bringing in money as opposed to just trying to survive day to day.
Not giving them a hand out, but giving them a hand up is the plan here. So what we would do is the farm would be self-supporting. We will grow crops, and there are meat goats on the farm, and we'll have chickens, etc., etc. But they will support these families for a year. They will not charge them. Most of these places, these camps, charge the people rent, which is an absolute nightmare. Now, they will not be charged anything. Any money made from the farm will go back into the people, so that at the end of the year, they are able to move off of the farm and get their own place and then start working as productive community members instead of as hopeless, helpless people with no future.
All right, now, how big are these farms? We've got half the money. How many people will they support? In other words, it's a dent in solving the real problem, even though it's great efforts, right?
It is a very, very small start. But if we are successful on the first farm, then we can do it again. And we've got to start somewhere, Sam.
Agreed. How many people can be on the first farm?
25 families, that is from grandparents down to the youngest children, 25 families in the first year.
And that might equate to how many people? 150?
Yeah, say 6 per family.
Yes, just on the average. And then how big is this farm?
I don't know the exact acreage, but it is a very, very productive farm. It has its own water supply. It has working boreholes on it, which is a problem in South Africa.
And how much does it take to buy this farm?
They need another about $5,000.
That's it?
That's it.
See, in America, we should get 5,000 Americans to put in a buck and would have it done tomorrow, Karen. Quick pause. I want to drill into this. We need more than an hour. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We're talking about the South African Family Relief Project, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about poverty. We're talking about starving people. We're talking about safety for people. God's people. We're all God's people, folks. Their website, SAFRPSA. I'm going to say it again, SAFRPSA.org. Ladies and gentlemen, we can feed a family of four for literally $20 U.S. per week. $80 a month to feed a family of four. That's nothing in our world. They're raising money. They've got goals this year. They will be focusing on their farm project for 2016. The idea is to help people who have nothing, not to get a hand out, but to get a hand up and become productive in their own right. Our aim, they say, is to acquire land, build low-cost housing, a skill center, and a preschool. All right, that way you take care of some of the children, get them kind of rolling. This is all happening without government. There's a lot we can do, ladies and gentlemen, especially in wealthy America, not by force, but by choice. Are you one of the people that will help is the question. Now, there are organizations around the world that you would think would be helping. One of them is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons. Are they doing anything?
No. No. Sam, what I've found is that the churches are helped. The church in my own town, St. Missionaries, who did Johannesburg last year, and they sent missionaries to the blacks. And when I asked, are they going to help the whites, they said, no, that's not what God has called them to do. So, you know, I don't know what to say, but the churches are not helping, no. There are individual churches in South Africa which are really good with donations and help and volunteers and those kind of things, yes. But, you know, in a bigger organization, No, the churches are not doing anything.
Is part of the problem for some of these international churches, because I know the Mormons help worldwide, and they have some of the biggest relief programs and humanitarian effort programs the world has ever known in the private sector. However, I do know oftentimes the government prohibits them from doing certain things, or they lose access to the country. Is that at stake?
Yes, that is absolutely true, because the Red Cross in South Africa only helps the blacks. So some people here in the States phoned the Red Cross headquarters here and asked, why is that? And they said, because if they were to help the whites, they would then not be allowed in the country and would not be able to help anybody at all. Now, I am not saying that the blacks in South Africa do not live in the same poverty that the whites do. The ANC government has been a total train wreck for everybody in the country. you know, the blacks are in poverty. They're unemployed. The unemployment rate amongst black males is over 52% in South Africa. So it is shocking for them as well. But my concentration is on the white people, because the blacks do get government grants. They do get government housing. They do get help from all over the world. But the white people are not getting help from anywhere. So I'm trying to help them.
And so it's not that we don't want help for the blacks either. Of course we do. What we're saying is that they're getting the help. We just need to shore this up and get everyone the help.
Yes, because it's so, you know, even child grants are not given to white people in South Africa. So it becomes an absolute nightmare for these people. And then to try and get money from the government, you have to have an address. Now, if you live in a squatter camp in the middle of nowhere, you do not have an address. So you don't exist as far as the government is concerned, and you cannot get a bank account, electricity supply, nothing. You can get nothing without a fixed address.
All right. Now, is it a better strategy to try to get people to flee for freedom like you've done and your family's done, or is it better to try to build these farms? You know, it almost seems like staying there, though, if they just make the laws worse, even staying there, all the plans could be wrecked overnight.
Absolutely. But because so many people are struggling to get out, you just cannot get them out. We have to do something about the people who are there. And also, there are a lot of people in South Africa who say that their families have been there for 300-400 years. They've been there since the 1600s. They are as African as anybody else, and they refuse to leave. They will not leave. So you've got the two groups of people. The one group who are fighting for self-determination and their own piece of land where they can have their own white country, and the other group that would leave today in 5 minutes if they were able to. So I'm working on both fronts. I'm helping people who want to leave. I'm trying to help them. I'm helping people who've come to America, have applied for asylum. I'm helping them to live here until such time as they can get a work permit. And I'm also fighting for self-determination for the people who do not want to leave.
So, in other words, your point is, even if you get them here tomorrow, that doesn't mean that they can work, and it doesn't mean they can contribute. It's just another difficulty of, hey, now we got them here, how do we support them here? Which is even, in the short term, even a more expensive proposition.
Absolutely, because an asylum application here can take up to 7 years. So in that time, you cannot work legally. You cannot get a driver's license. You cannot do anything. So it's very, very hard. And at the end of that, you could still be deported back to South Africa, as many families have been. And so those two families that had children born in America were deported back to South Africa. One of the families, six people, were killed within 6 weeks of going back to South Africa. The whole family was murdered. So, you know, it seems to me like a no-win situation, no matter what you try and do.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we're just trying to do something. Okay, and I know at first it sounds easy, folks, but remember, these people are very smart. It's not like they haven't thought through or tried to figure out solutions. The best solution right now, in my opinion, is help them in place to try to make these farms work. It's the best opportunity, the least expensive option at this point. Yes, the laws could change tomorrow and ruin it all, but we've got to try. We've got to start somewhere. And we've got to trust a lot in God, do you think?
Well, you know that the Afrikaans nation are very, very Christian, very God-fearing people. They are staunch Christians, and they believe that God will come to their aid. They have no doubt in their mind whatsoever that this is a battle, that they will come out victorious. Not a fighting battle with firearms, etc. A spiritual right against wrong, black against white battle, that they will come out the victors in the end. They believe that with all their hearts. So those people are an absolute boon to any country where they could end up, because they are hardworking, they are intelligent, they are God-fearing, they are law-abiding, they are good people.
All right, Karen, we're about out of time. I don't mean to chop you off. What I'm going to have to do is have you back. We're going to have to talk for a couple of hours. This topic is so detailed. I've done my best to simplify it because the problem is I hear interviews about this and everybody just talks about little sections of it and you can't get a clear picture of what's really going on. And so I've tried to stick with a lot of the basics. I know a lot more than we've discussed, but I'm trying to get people's arms around it who are maybe not even caught up on this. One of our listeners, Bob, emails in and says this. What this lady speaks of is on its way to the United States. Years ago, I worked with a young lady that was raised in Rhodesia. Her story was very similar. Caucasians are under attack worldwide. Yeah. Can you say persecution? The prophecies are clear. I think he's right. And I think we need to work on this for everyone. And I think we need to preach equality for all. We need to truly believe in that and put our money and our time and our efforts where our mouth is for this cause. If people want to learn more, give them the places to go. And if they want to contact you to get involved, what can they do?
They are welcome to go to my website, radiofreesouthafrica.com. There is a contact there. My email is there. And they're welcome to contact me. If they want to get involved, they can either donate on my website, which money goes directly to South African Family Relief Project, or they can go and look at South African Family Relief Project's website and donate there. There is a donate button there. But please do it, folks. These people are totally, totally 100% dependent on the rest of the world sending finances, because South Africans give food and clothes and those kind of things, but they do not have money to give, and you may not, by law, big companies may not donate to white charities. They may not. So these people are totally dependent on the outside world for help. So please, please, please find it in your hearts to just help the family to eat today.
All right. I know people think this is easy. I know people want to help. It's just one of the things that you need to be very careful of is if you just go on a lot of sites out there and you try to help, oftentimes the money and or the resources doesn't even end up where you hope it to be, right?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry to say that. That is true. There are a lot of white people making money out of this situation, and it's not going where it belongs. And that is why I support South African Family Relief Project, because they work with other charities. They share the income with other charities, but charities that do the work don't just talk.
Karen, thank you so much. I wish we had more time. I'm going to have you back, okay?
Thank you very much, Sam.
All right, give your website again.
RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com.
There you have it. Karen, thanks again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. We need to stand for Christian reach out. By choice, not by government, not by force, but by good, honest Americans with charitable kindness and love for their fellow beings, no matter who they are. We can make a difference, folks. You can't fix the world by 3 o'clock, but you can do your part, huh? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure. Hey, thanks.